How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Taro International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit taro.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Taro team.
When you think about AARP, you no doubt think about aging. In reality, AARP Iowa is all about family. From lifting up family caregiving concerns to the Iowa legislature, to providing reliable information on fraud, to supporting art and culture, AARP is all about creating a better state for all of us. Learn more and get connected with the real possibilities of AARP Iowa. Google AARP Iowa and let's get started with you and your family. AARP Iowa, we're really about possibilities. Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aurion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits, AUREON.com, Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids, realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. We're going to turn our attention to the business of art. Yeah, I know. You go to the art museums and you see public art. You see all these things going on all over the Midwest and all over the country. But there is a festival that comes to the greater Des Moines metro area each year. It's called the Des Moines Arts Festival. And with us is the guy that spearheads this entire event, the award-winning, I should say, event. And his name is Stephen King. Stephen, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be here.
Tell us, this is no small potato deal. I mean, this isn't a couple of easels on the sidewalk, right?
No.
Yeah, right.
It's not.
As a matter of fact, it's won a number of national awards.
It has. It's been recognized over the last 10 years with the Grand Pinnacle. We've won the Gold Grand Pinnacle Award four times in the last 10 years from the International Festivals and Events
Association. Now, what does that mean?
It means that there are festivals and events throughout the globe that submit an application to the International Festivals and Events Association, and festivals are selected based on their community involvement, their programming, their marketing, advertising. So it's really sort of the 40,000-foot view of an event.
And the Des Moines Arts Festival has won this a number of times.
A number of times, yeah.
And you're also internationally acclaimed.
Yes. Well, I mean, the awards speak volumes. I mean, and we, you know, having won over 300 awards from the IFEA as well as locally too, been recognized with the Bravo Greater Des Moines Bravo Award, and Business Record has recognized us for 10 consecutive years as the best cultural attraction. I mean, we just keep, you know, I mean, awards are great. Don't get me wrong.
Well, there's a reason for that, though.
Yes, there's a reason for that. I think it's just that, you know, we offer to our community something that is timely and significant and impactful. So ours is, you know, a free event. So it's open to everyone. It's accessible to everyone. And because of that, we have the opportunity to offer so much just in terms of interaction and engagement. We're not a passive event. We pride ourselves on that engagement piece, especially with the artists. I mean, there's this year we'll have 178 visual artists that come from one of our most competitive years. We had over 1,150 applications for the
really
165 spaces.
So there's 165 spaces, and you had over 1,100 applications.
Yes. That says to us, too, that we're doing something right.
Because it's in the artist community, that word gets around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a big part of that is our community. I mean, it's just, there's never a year that goes by that, you know, artists don't comment to me about our community and about how giving and caring our community is, how smart they are. They can walk into any artist's booth and ask them intelligent questions, really engage with the artist. And that's really the beauty of an arts festival. Anywhere you go, that's really the at the core of any arts festival, is that you can develop a relationship with that artist. It's not a, you're not going to a big box store, to a gallery or something like that, where you don't have that engagement, where you're disengaged. You're talking to someone else about someone else's art, right? You come to an arts festival, you attend an arts festival, you talk to the artist, mm-hmm. you engage in that artist, you find out, you can ask them questions, you can find out about their life and their livelihood and what they're doing and why they created a piece of work, or, you know, really ask them any kind of question you want, and you develop that relationship. So every time you see that piece of artwork on your wall,
it's a person behind that.
Get it. Really get it. You become sort of emotionally connected with the work. It's not just, I hate to say it like this, but not something necessarily pretty to hang on the wall. It is pretty to hang on the wall, but there's an emotional connection to that piece.
Sure there is. Any time that you can put something with somebody,
yep.
you know, and make that relationship happen, it means a whole lot more. And you can also tell the story when friends and neighbors drop in and say, wow, that's pretty. Where'd you get that? And you can go through the story, which also helps our artists. We've been talking with Stephen King. He is the person behind the Des Moines Arts Festival. And Chris Dahlquist from Kansas City is sitting with us. Chris, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What do you do?
Well, I am a visual artist that my work's based in photography. I've been participating in the Des Moines Art Festival. This will be my 19th consecutive year.
Get out of here.
To come to Des Moines.
You must like it up here.
I like it a little bit. I do. I do, I have to say.
So photography. If you were to explain, because this is the theater of the mind, you know, because we can't see a lot of this, what genre or what do you specialize in, or what does this look like that you do?
I specialize in very quiet images with lots of layering. It's really about the materiality and how the surface that the images are printed on interacts with that image to further the story. So I actually have two series of photographs that will be shown this year at the Des Moines Arts Festival. One is on gold-painted steel, and it's a very minimal landscape. So that the light really plays on that surface of the steel. The other one is very atmospheric, also landscape images, but very atmospheric, printed on waxed rice paper that enhances that atmospheric quality.
I'm stunned. Obviously, this is more than just putting a print through a printer and putting it up on a wall someplace. So the medium that you use, or the what you're printing on, actually then helps to enhance the photography, yes?
Yes, yes, absolutely. To see photographs on paper, like we see it now, is really of the 21st century. Historically, photographs were on a variety of surfaces, from the very beginning of the medium, when you begin to talk about tintypes and daguerreotypes. So my work is steeped in the history of the medium.
And, you know, what's interesting about that is also when we even go pre-photography, paintings were done on copper, and they were done on all kinds of materials outside of canvas.
Absolutely. And the photographers were taking their cues from those painters.
So there is a connection,
correct.
Obviously. So you've been here 19 years. There must be something about this that keeps bringing you back. Has it been, from a business standpoint, positive for you?
Yes, absolutely. It works from the business standpoint. And as Stephen said, you make these enduring relationships. So I have people that I see every year that come back into the booth that I've known now for almost 20 years. Those are connections that, I don't want to give up by not coming to Des Moines.
How did you get into this business of being a photographer, an artist? Anybody, I always say that now all of us have cameras that can take photographs, and we all think, well, we've seen the explosion of professional photographers, quote unquote, who are out there plying their trade because they have a digital camera. You started long before the digital revolution, obviously. How did you get into this business?
Well, I was really fortunate to find my love early. So I started working in the darkroom when I was elementary school.
Yeah.
As part of a program that blended science and creativity. And so I've been on that path ever since. So literally third grade, I began. I spent the early part of my career in commercial photography and film before I began making my own artwork. And then the festivals. My husband is a musician, and he had this direct interaction with his audience.
And you're saying, hey,
how come he gets to interact with his audience and I'm dropping my work off at a gallery? So being quite envious of that direct relationship that he got to have, the conversations that he got to have with people that were viewing his craft, were really enticing to me. And festivals provided that similar interaction, this kind of feedback loop between the audience and your artwork.
That's the voice of Chris Dahlquist, ladies and gentlemen. She's part of, for 19 years, for crying out loud, part of the Des Moines Art Festival. How many of these do you do? How many art festivals do you do in a year, Chris?
Well, that number, as my career has matured, that number has decreased considerably. And so right now I'm traveling to about 7 a year and participating in 2 in Kansas City. So
is that how the business gets going? You must go to X amount of fairs, of festivals, so that your name and your reputation is built, and then you can start to whittle down a bit?
To some extent, yeah. That's changed obviously a lot over 19 years. When I began, really the only time you had to interact with the audience was at the festival, and now it can become this ongoing relationship that you can have throughout the year. So the festival becomes an opportunity to make the first contact, to meet someone, and then it becomes an ongoing dialogue from there.
Fascinating business opportunity for some people. Steve, I want to ask you, Chris has been coming to this for 19 years, which is really amazing. How has the advent of the internet impacted things like the Des Moines Art Festival? And I'm going to ask also Chris how the internet has impacted her job as well.
I can probably answer that from the artist's perspective, and she can probably answer that from my perspective.
Good, yeah. Let's go.
I think one of the great challenges that we have as an organization is that there are not enough artists that have access, online access. You can't get to them online. Mm. So it's become a great challenge. There is... there are a number of, we get calls, we get inquiries throughout the year. Hey, I saw an artist. I've got, you know, my wife's birthday's coming up. I'd really like to get a piece from X. I think they were on Grand Avenue, but can't quite. And then they don't have a website. So they have to call us and get a phone number.
This is incredible for me to hear.
Incredible. I know. I shake my head every single year. And it's part of what Chris and I are talking about, just in terms of a broader conversation, in terms of really helping artists become better business people, right? And really getting them to the table in terms of thinking technically, thinking broadly about the business of their craft. And then it's not just about the 3 days of the festival. It really is about engaging your audience.
Sure.
And having that conversation and really extending that conversation beyond Sunday at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Right?
Can you imagine? Chris, I've got to turn back to you for just a second about this. This is stunning to me. But can you imagine taking that relationship, taking a look behind the scenes, how things are created, telling those stories about all of this in a visual manner, with film or with video, obviously, and what impact that would have on the artist's business?
I can imagine. I can absolutely imagine. So in addition to my arts practice, I have been teaching business for artists for almost a decade.
Yes.
Now. And where that really started was teaching digital strategy and storytelling. But I work with artists to build strategy, not just around their digital, but around their entire business model and how that might work for them, and then help them gain the business skills needed to execute.
We see this all the time, Stephen. Would that be accurate? So many of these artists are artists for art, and that's what their calling is. But it's the business side of the art that really you have to pay attention to. Would you agree?
I would agree. I absolutely agree. I think at the end of the day, we can be as nice and welcoming and wonderful and fabulous and as we want to be. But come Sunday at 5 o'clock, you can bet that every artist is checking their bank account.
You bet.
Right? They need to pay their mortgage. They need to pay the gas and the hotel bill that got them here. So that piece of it, of course, is incredibly important. And I think, you know, one of the things, quite frankly, again, Chris and I have been talking about, and something that has stayed with me in our conversations is the sort of the light bulb when you think about that art is not just about object making. It's, you know, it can move beyond that experience, that art making experience, in terms of just how it engages our day-to-day life, and how important the arts are in the, you know, in the economy that we live in. And then how much I think we all think about, have too long thought about the arts as sort of this nice quality of life kind of thing that we have. But you probably have read, so last year the Americans for the Arts did, well, actually it was prior to that, so they came out with the report last year about the economic impact of
the
arts.
And we just in the greater Des Moines.
Yep, just in the greater Des Moines area, there's, I think it was in excess of $185 million economic impact, over 5,000, I think it was 5,600 jobs, full FTE equivalents, as a result of the arts just here in our region. So that's a lot. Those are big numbers for the greater Des Moines area. So the business of the arts in our space is certainly very important. And then the follow-up to that, of course, to the American for the Arts study was the regional cultural assessment that Bravo Greater Des Moines executed. And after, a whole lot of meetings, hundreds of people participating in these meetings, the regional cultural assessment came out with some really important information, really for all of us, about strengthening that creative economy and what that creative economy can do for our region. That it's not just about, again, not just about that it's something nice, but it is something significant that helps really bolster and move our economy forward.
We had Sally Dix on the broadcast not long ago, and she was talking about that very thing, about how many people are employed, what the economic impact of the arts are. And that is a follow-up question. One of the things that we see, Chris and Stephen, is that in our public school system, oftentimes because of budget cuts, it's the arts that go away. I mean, they don't have money for plays, and they don't have money for experiential art, and they don't have money for any of these things. And it's the arts, I believe, and I think a lot of individuals who are listening, that really expand the quality of life for a student. Would you agree?
I would agree. I don't know that you have enough time on your show for us for Stephen to talk about the lack of arts in our educational system. It's obviously, I have a theater background. That's where I come from. So the arts to me are incredibly important. I think the arts provide opportunity for us to think about things in a very, very different way, right? So I think it's important for us to be able to have a community that can fill that void. And I think that's one of the great things about the Arts Festival. I think it's one of the great things about our community, is that there are a number of opportunities that are in our community for both the young kids as well as the older kids to engage in the arts that is lacking in the schools. As we sit here and speak, my daughter is at Girls Rock Camp. So for 2 weeks, she gets to play the drums along with 100 other girls. It's an incredibly empowering program for young girls, but it also teaches them something that they will not get in school. Teaches them they're writing songs, they're playing musical instruments, they're singing, they're performing in front of an audience. It's just such a really incredible, incredible program.
And that all creates a more well-rounded individual in the end.
Yes, absolutely.
I would agree with you. Thank you guys so much for doing this. You know, this went on a tack that I wasn't really expecting to go on, Stephen.
What tack was that?
Well, I wasn't really thinking about educating artists in the business of business I think that is brilliant, Chris. And how successful have you been with that? Just, I got to ask.
I've worked in a program that was founded in Kansas City that at this point has worked with over 2,000 artists.
Wow.
And the objective data on the impact that it's having in their careers is all of the data is there. And I might add, though, that we're not just looking at the economic data, that it's also can they still make their artwork? Like, everyone's voice is important. And so maybe that doesn't look like them being a full-time artist. Maybe that looks like them working at the insurance company down the street and them making art. But they still need to have these underpinnings to make a sustainable art practice.
Otherwise, it's just a hobby.
Right, right. We are doing the first of some trainings here in Des Moines tomorrow night on telling your story. We will talk some about social media. But as a artist that does festivals and this direct interaction with the audience, I've learned a lot about connecting with audience and how to speak with them, what they're interested in. And so I'll be sharing some of that that I've gained over the last almost two decades of doing it with the artist here in Des Moines tomorrow night at the Flynn Wright Studio. It's called Stories, Relationships, and Magic.
Nice.
And it's from 5 to 7, and it's free for any Des Moines creative that would like to join us.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you so much, Chris, for visiting with us. We appreciate it. And, Stephen, always a pleasure. Good to catch up with you again.
Thank you, Michael. Good to see you.
Stephen King and Chris Dahlquist. What an exciting time, and what a great idea to help starving artists to stop starving and start making some money. The business of being an artist. That was valuable. Okay, we got to call it a day. Our engineer is Tyler Hackenmiller. Sales and marketing is Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. Music you're listening to right now is arranged, conducted, and done by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. Need some original music for your podcast or your video or your commercial? Let us know, and we'll hook you up. For all the crew, my name is Michael Libby. Have a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.